Police Constable Nat Edgar was shot on this corner of Winchmore Hill in North London in 1948. Today it's a very green suburban area, and except for a steady criss-crossing of traffic, I don't expect it to change very much. The streets are very wide, and there are evenly spaced trees running up and down on both sides. All the houses are very large, detached. Quite a few of them have very colourful hanging baskets out of the front. Central London is just a 25-minute train ride from here. And it was here, on the evening of the 13th of February 1948, that Constable Nat Edgar was on plain clothes duty with another officer. And they were patrolling this area because there had been a number of burglaries. I have some news reports of the time here, and they say that officers had shadowed a suspect and then separated. Soon afterwards, at 8:15 p.m, Constable Edgar challenged a man in the gateway of a house on the corner of these two streets. He was shot three times and fell to the ground. A doctor was called from his home close by, and while the doctor was trying to stem the blood, Edgar, who was still conscious, gave his fellow officers all the information they needed in order to catch the man who did it. Edgar was taken to hospital, but he died shortly after being admitted. He was 33. He'd joined the police force in 1939. A year later, he'd married, and 4 years later, he went into the Navy, surviving the war to return to his family in 1946. Funny thing was, Constable Edgar never wanted to be a police officer.
He wanted to be a journalist.
David Edgar, Nat's brother.
He was always writing. He had a passion for poetry and a passion for music. He played classical music on his violin. He began to play jazz on his clarinet. I don't think you could call him an average police officer.
David was just 17 when Nat was killed. The family are from Scotland, and he remembers travelling to London for the funeral.
Along a windswept London street, Police Constable Edgar makes his last journey. 33 years old, his was a brutal death. Shot down by a gunman, Nat Edgar typified the courage of Britain's policemen.
It was most impressive. The entire route was lined by policemen from all over the country. And the police band was in attendance, of course. And all of my family were there. It had been snowing that day, and everything was white. And of course, the grave was just covered in flowers. It was just a mass of wreaths and bouquets.
Home Secretary Tudor Reid and the Commissioner of Police are at the graveside as, mourned by the family he left behind, Police Constable Edgar is laid to rest.
My brother's police pay stopped the minute he was shot, and his pay wasn't very much, but her widow's pension was ludicrous. And, of course, we were very worried for what she was going to do financially. And then the News of the World said they were launched, and they started a fund of £250, which in those days was quite a sizable amount. So we were always very grateful to the News of the World.
And of course that £250 became £2,250, which came from the readership.
Yes. I believe that it was invested for her, and the interest on the investments helped to pay a mortgage for a new house for her. And because of the News of the World, my father started buying the News of the World, which wasn't really a sort of reading at all. The News of the World was a little bit too body tittle-tattle, which was fine, but for a very strict Presbyterian, it wasn't quite the right sort of reading. But he continued to buy the News of the World after that.
Nat's son Leslie, or Les as he's known, has the original campaign article in his overflowing box of newspaper clippings about his father's death.
People were very generous. It was a fairly unusual case at the time, and I think it did tug the heartstrings. People even wrote from America in support of this. In the article, it does say here, "We shall be glad to receive any amount, great and small, in order that the fund may be representative of our unique readership." Yesterday, Mrs. Edgar, Leslie and Neil were at their Hampstead home. The children not yet been told that they are fatherless. They played happily in the snow in the garden. Mrs. Edgar smiled bravely. "I shall carry on," she said. "We shall take a little holiday and then come back here, for this is our home. I am most grateful to everyone for the great kindness they have shown us."
What do you remember of what happened?
I have very, very few memories, unfortunately. Perhaps fortunately, I don't know. I recall with him being on the back of a bicycle as a pillion rider. I recall being over the brook in Hampstead Garden suburb. And I do remember thinking that he'd gone away and that one day he'd come back by parachute.
Did your mother ever talk about that?
My mother wasn't very communicative. Probably she was happy to not to bury the situation, but she was not one to talk about it very much. And I didn't feel we grew up with this shadow or this thing over us at any time. I think she was happy to keep it that way.
And while the campaign to raise money got underway, the police sought the public's help to catch the killer. Nat's notebook was in his breast pocket when he was found. When Nat had first apprehended the man, he had taken down his name, identity card number, and an address which turned out to be his mother's. 23-year-old Donald George Thomas, an army deserter, was caught within a few weeks after a tip-off from the landlady at a boarding house where he was staying with a Mrs. Nora Winkless. Mrs. Winkless was later released and became a key witness at his trial. Headline after headline followed every twist and turn of the case. The public were hooked.
As Mrs. Winkless, and inverted commas, Don said he shot him.
Police seek woman with twisted nose.
Yes, it sounds like something from Sherlock Holmes kind of a story, doesn't it?
They published a love poem that Nat had written to his wife and a photo gallery with the headline, "Shot Finchley PC's Life in Pictures, a page the killer should see." The story was regularly printed with a photograph of Nat's two young sons standing alone as though orphaned in their woolen hats, staring into the camera and out at the public. But the case was significant for another reason too.
It was taking place at a time when the House of Commons had voted for a temporary suspension of the death penalty. The upshot was that people said, well, here's what happens if you suspend the death penalty. You have our policemen being shot. So Donald Thomas, instead of meeting the hangman, ended up with just a 15-year sentence in the end. He was released sometime in the middle of the 60s, as I understand it. I'm not in favour of the death penalty. I think were it to happen now, he would have certainly served longer in prison, and I think that certainly would have been what should have happened.
Do you feel a loyalty towards the News of the World because of what happened?
Well, I was always very, very grateful to the newspaper, of course. It did provide my mother with that financial situation. I can't pretend in later years I've been a reader, and it's with some dismay, of course, that one sees the circumstances that the paper's now fallen into.
And it wasn't just Nat's wife and children who felt grateful. Nat's nephew, Douglas Lee.
My parents, out of gratitude, really, and loyalty to the News of the World, took out a subscription, as I know that other members of my mother's family did, because they were so grateful to the News of the World and they wanted to show their loyalty and gratitude towards the paper.
So they read it on a pretty regular basis?
Well, I don't know if they actually read it, because I think even in the 50s, it was already sort of becoming a slightly seedy title, if I can put it that way.
But there was a point where they decided to stop subscribing.
Indeed. There was, yes, and that was because when I was about 10, maybe, I just happened upon a copy of the paper which they'd left lying around, and I just saw the front page. And it was a story about a lady who was offering to whip gentlemen for £1 a stroke. And I remember that, and I remember a photograph. I mean, it would have been of a model, of course, but as a sort of very innocent 10-year-old, that made quite an impression on me.
But Douglas still thinks it's a tragedy that the paper, which he describes as a great British institution, has been closed down.
We are obsessed right now with the story of the phone hacking, the Millie Dowler affair and all the rest of it, but this paper had 167, 168 years of history. And that's all been just thrown away in a twinkling. And obviously, the campaign for my widowed aunt can't have been the only one. The News of the World had a very honourable history. And as I said, that's just gone. That's just gone, been swept away in the midst of this torrent of scandal and crisis. And I think it's very sad.